Off the Ball, GAA.
The game is much more progressive. It's been much more engaging for people to watch and more entertaining for supporters.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
The Racing Pod
on Off the Ball
with William Hill. Proper value from a proper bookmaker. Every day at Cheltenham. 18+ gamblingcare.ie.
Well, a very good morning and welcome along to the Cheltenham Show. It's arrived day four of the Cheltenham Festival 2025. We're here with William Hill. And once again, John Duggan joins me on the line. John, you're in position at Cheltenham, pole position, and we are ready for a little bit of history to strike today. It's the three-peat, it's on, Cairn galloping the shop, walk in the footsteps, the hoof prints of Arkell and Best Mate before him. What's it like on the ground, John? Is there a buzz there?
There's always a buzz of Gold Cup Day, Tom. Good morning. The 68,500 people coming here today to Cheltenham. You're not going to see that at a race course anywhere else. Maybe a bit of a Grand National Day at Aintree, but like, this is it. This is the big day of the year, really. Gold Cup Day, the most prestigious race in the calendar. 3.25 miles, 22 fences, and an equine hero looking to join a very elite group going back 101 years since the first Gold Cup. Willie Mullins would love to do it. I think this could be the biggest day in his career as a trainer, even though he's got 109 winners already at Cheltenham and Galopin des Champs. I mean, like, just let's hope that we don't really see the madness that we saw on Tuesday in the Champion Hurdle. If Galopin is going to be beaten, I hope it's fair and square, and I just hope it's not as a result of anything going wrong that's beyond his control in the race. So 4 o'clock post time, 8 opponents. Let's bring it on.
Yeah, before we get into that, John, just there, so it's time to just reflect briefly on the week, because this is just one of the craziest Cheltenhams I've ever witnessed. I mean, it really started with the Champion Hurdle on Tuesday with the two fallers, and it hasn't really relented since. We've just seen kind of crazy stuff all week, haven't we? It's kind of, the hope is that it stops here.
Yeah, well, the Champion Hurdle was mad with the falls of State Man and Constitution Hill. Golden Ace winning, the surprise winner. You had the odds on defeats of Ballyburn, Mashborough, John Bond, all these horses not delivering. And then, obviously, you had yesterday Rachel winning the Stairs Hurdle, which is brilliant on Mo Allinger, a horse that you might have ruled out a while back after his chasing career, kind of never really took off, but comes back as 10 years of age and wins. But I still think, like, Galopin might win today, and from a racing perspective, that will be the story for years if Galopin does become the first horse in 21 years to win 3 Gold Cups at the age of 9, because he's got everything that you'd want as a jumper, stayer, traveller. He's got all the characteristics you'd want, and an amazing horse. But, like, ultimately, the week will be remembered for the whole. The tribute to Michael O'Sullivan on Tuesday with the naming of the race's Primanopsis Hurdle after him, and then the beautifully mysterious and spiritual, almost, I would say, events that unfolded on Wednesday with Marine Nationale and Jazzy Matty both winning on the day. What were the chances of that, Tom, to be honest? And that'll be the embodied memory of the Cheltenham Festival this year for me.
Yeah, I think just one more quick point on yesterday. I mean, the return of Rachel Blackmore, two absolutely brilliantly judged rides, and air of entitlement to pick Keith Donoghue's pocket there in the Ryanair Mares Hurdle. And then, as you mentioned, on Bob Allinger, not sure you'll have seen on social last night, Harry Cobden did a piece where he analysed the race, and he was just so fulsome in his praise of Rachel Blackmore, because, you know, Bob Allinger, he is not a straightforward horse. There have been plenty of accusations laid at him for, you know, he's not a fella you're expecting to go to war with. He has talent, but I mean, there's definitely one or two question marks. And just the way she pulled up sides, Tia Hoopo, and she's kind of been written off a little bit in parts this season. It hasn't been great for her. Obviously, she came back from injury early doors. So it was great for her. And if you talk about Galopin des Champs, I suppose, John, the other story that always cuts through the press for racing is Rachel Blackmore. So kind of almost important for the sport as well that she had a moment.
Absolutely. It's not many sports I can think of where men and women compete against each other and there's a woman champion in it. She's leading rider here 4 years ago. She's won every single race now that you could win at the top level. Champion Hurdle, Champion Chase, Stairs Hurdle yesterday, Gold Cup, Grand National, the whole set at 35 years of age, given she turned pro so late. She's the front page story. She's very popular. She's very accommodating with her time. I just even saw before I spoke to her, there was a young person looking to get a photo taken. She's very obliging and accommodating. And that's the kind of stuff that really, really matters to people, that you meet the normal people that are just going racing. and Rachel is very normal in that regard. So that I think that as well, what a winner does, like, you know, Tom, if you tip a winner, if you back a winner, you feel a bit more confident. You go, well, you know what, my eye's in here today. I've got a bit more zest about what I'm predicting. And then you might be a bit bolder. And then you might go, oh, I might get another winner. I think that actually is the kind of human psychology element to it. So the ride she gave Air of Entitlement yesterday to be able to almost rope-a-dope 6.5. 6.5 looked like he was all over the winner from about, like, I mean, half a mile out. And then for her to just judge the ride on that mare, Air of Entitlement, to just collar him up the hill. Okay, I've got the confidence here now to do that. Let's do it again. Let's hold on to Bob Hollinger as long as we can, because we know maybe questionable stayer, but he really delivered in the staying championship. And it was just reminiscent of what he did 4 years ago when he just powered up the hill. He did the same thing yesterday. And look, well done to Henry de Bromhead, everybody down the yard in Waterford for keeping the faith.
Yeah, and they did have the faith. There are quite a few preview nights I saw Henry de Bromhead tipped him up. Robbie Power, who works in the yard, tipped him up as well. So they did have confidence, just not sure they were sure the horse was ever going to deliver once again as promised. Let's move on to the Gold Cup itself then. It is the feature race. John, just looking through some of the UK papers in the studio here, like, you know, they'd never have a horse racing story unless it's negative anywhere near the news pages, and Galloping Deschamps is on front pages everywhere. It is the story. He is the odds on favourite. Just to look at the market, I know the way you're thinking has been back following his supplementation for the race. Banbridge up in the market as well. Obviously with Rachel Blackmore having a couple of winners, Monty Starr has shortened a little bit in the market, and then you've Corbett's Cross. But sort of on all known form and everything we've seen this season, Galloping Deschamps should win this race.
I met Keith Donoghue and Sean Flanagan, both William Hill ambassadors, bizarrely on the walk at 6 a.m. this morning to the race course, and I asked them what the ground was like, and they said it was on the it was dead ground, so it just there's a soft still in the good, and they don't think it's cold here at the moment, freezing, and like it will get a little bit warmer, probably about 7 or 8 degrees. So I don't think that softness will necessarily come out of the ground. If it was rattling good ground, I'd be all over Banbridge, but I think that the kind of the softness in the ground, the little bit of good, soft in the good to soft, makes it easier for Galloping Deschamps, because Galloping Deschamps, if you can look at the weaknesses maybe in his chasing career, they come at the end of the season at Punchestown on better ground, where maybe tactical speed has seen faster slow beat him twice. But in the, I suppose, when he's in the arena, which is at Leopardstown, which I think is his favourite track, and at Cheltenham the last couple of years in the Gold Cup, he has been able to use his staying power. And there's no other examination like Cheltenham for you to stay. Like, it's not 3 miles, it's 3 miles, 2.5 furlongs. And the extra 2.5 furlongs is the big thing for Galloping Deschamps. As AP McCoy said to me last week, and I think he's right, if the race is 4 miles, he'd be a 1-10 shot. Now, the race is, 3.25 miles. But I think that little bit of softness in the ground helps Galloping Deschamps. Look, you never know with horses. They don't talk. We all thought that State Man was written off, and look at the way he performed at the Champion Hurdle before falling. Marine Nationale was not the horse he was for the last couple of years until he turned up at the Champion Chase and was magnificent on Wednesday. So, like, Galloping Deschamps, it can be possible that maybe the races will catch up with him, but he's 9. He's not 11. He's 9 years of age, and I still think he's at his peak. And there's no on the basis of form, on the basis of ratings as well. You look at the ratings just going through the race here. Like, he's just far, far ahead of all the other horses. I was looking at the exchanges there recently, Tom, in the last few minutes. Banbridge is like drifting. It's about 8-1, which is amazing, really, when you think about it. Obviously, he wants really, really good ground. And so the question with Banbridge is, would he stay the trip? But I'm just going through the ratings here. Like, Galloping Deschamps is rated 177. And there is no other horse in the 170s. So the next horse in the ratings is Banbridge at 168. So £9 inferior to Galloping Deschamps. So the basis of ratings, and, you know, the handicappers and all the people in the industry who, like, assess the chances of a horse and assess the quality of the horse, like, Galloping Deschamps is 9 lengths better than everybody else here. So that really makes it a difficult assignment for any other horse. I don't know what the tactics would be like. You know, you've got front runners like the Real Whacker in there, Royal Pagai. But the thing about it is, by the time they get to, when the heat is turned on in the second circuit, that's when Galloping Deschamps really comes into his own. And the fact that Paul Tannen knows now that he can ride him prominently is a real benefit, because then he's not at the mercy of something, you know, falling in front of him and maybe bringing him down. He can get a clear sight of his fences. Who can live with him? And the market will suggest, Tom, that Corbis Cross has been the one that's been backed into 16s now. Got up on Le Chance odds on. I know the way you're thinking, Banbridge, Monte Star, all week in the betting. Hoy Senor, bit of a nibble at 50 to 1, but it's hard to make an argument until you see it actually happen. So the only horse, I think, Tom, that can really put it up to him is Banbridge. If Banbridge can handle the extra distance, and if he can handle the bit of putting the ground that they have today, because he is the only other horse I can see doing anything.
Yeah, I just think on the Banbridge thing, it'd probably need to be a slow run race, perhaps, to kind of bring that question mark over his stamina into it. He might hit Gallop and Deschamps with a late run or something like that. But the thing for me, John, that stands out about Gallop and Deschamps is he's so tactically versatile now. You know, when his first Gold Cup, he was tucked in. There was a slight question mark about maybe getting the 3 miles. I have no doubts about that now. They can, whatever happens, Paul Townend has the move covered for the first mile, mile and a half. And like you said, even if the real whacker and a Hoy Senor or Royal Pagay or whatever want to go on for a mile, it doesn't matter, because Gallop and Deschamps can just sit there. He can just sit and wait, and then when it comes, he can do a Denman and pick it up from a circuit out, or he can sit and wait and let them carry them into the race. You know, and the one aspect for me that sets him apart is that tactical versatility. Now we know him as a front runner, but he just kind of does that because he can, as far as I can see. More than anything else, it's not essential. But yeah, just like you, just really, really looking forward to this race. I thought maybe, I know the way you're thinking, would be the one to chase him home. But it just looks like it's going to be a fabulous occasion. Like I say, 68,000 people. It'll be a brilliant reception for this horse too, won't it?
Well, if he does do it, I mean, it'll be a great reception, and I think racing needs it. I think Cheltenham needs it after the challenges it's had around attendances and. And maybe negativity around the cost of living and the prices that are, I suppose, being put in front of punters when it comes to tickets, accommodation, and the price of a punt.
Have you seen any evidence of that on the ground, John? Like, has that been talked about on the ground, or is it kind of just something we're talking about because we've kind of, you know, we've 4 days of things to talk about and it's just one of those things that comes up? But has it actually been spoken about by the punters who are there on the ground, who have already spent the money?
Well, I don't really speak to many punters, but I don't need to speak to them because I walk around and I see, well, what is the space? Where is the space from? What's going on here? So if there's 42,000 people here on Wednesday, if the first 2 days is 9,500 down on last year, if you have a festival that had 280,000 people here in 2022, 230,000 last year, and probably less, even more so this year, you don't need to speak to anybody to know the answer, which is that people are staying away. And that's, you know, evident in this. Well, I'm stunned. This is. There's been times here, Tom, in the past, I have not been able to move. It's been uncomfortably busy, and it's not feeling like that at all. Gold Cup Day is always different because people come up from London and everything,
well, really,
and you have 68,500 people, and it's Friday, so it will be busy today. But I have not. I felt a bit more relaxed going around the race course than I normally would.
Yeah, that's fair. Let's move on to the Triumph, John. We'll look through the rest of the card today, because obviously we've spoken about the main event, but as always, you start off with the Triumph. And two UK horses here dominating the market in Shape of Lulamba and East India Dock. Willie Mullins just runs the 11 in this race. Obviously, he's won this race 3 years in the last four as well, so he's a brilliant record in it. What do you make of the Triumph?
I think it's very competitive. I think it's very difficult to find the winner. I suppose, look, if you think about East India Dock and Lulamba, they both could be very, very special. So East India Dock, as we know, course and distance winner, a bit like Burdett Road, who finished second in the Champion Hurdle the other day, that kind of similar type of horse, course and distance winners. We know he acts around here. Lulamba is all about potential. Nicky Henderson has had loads of winners of the Triumph in the past. Barry Garrity, I spoke to him last week, and he said that, look, there's good vibes around him. He is weak in the betting, about 9-4 now, Lulamba, but he could be one of these special horses. Obviously, we've only seen him win at Ascot. Hello, Neighbour for Ireland. He is a good mover, and I think the better ground will suit him. I think the faster pace will suit him. Gavin Cromwell has always been very confident and sweet about him. And then you got Willie's. I suppose you always have got to look to the stable jockey. I did back Lady Vega out on the Christmas behind Hello, Neighbour. And I always look at Willie's comments. I always read his column in the Sporting Life. And the fact that he was really positive about this horse all season means I think she's probably the each way bet in the race. Willie de Uel has been backed as well. apart from that, though, it's all about really the top two, Luamba and East India Dock. To be honest, I used to say about the Triumph Hurdle, that's a race to go into darkened room for. It's definitely not a race to be mortgaging your life on, because, look, you're talking about four-year-old horses here that have to adapt to the day. And I think you might see a superstar performance, but I just don't know from who. And if there's not a superstar performance from East India Dock or Luamba, then that might open the door for one of the others.
Yeah, I'm torn. I'm a little bit torn in this race because I've been a fan of East India Dock, and I don't know whether to take it as the market confidence is a big positive, but I know on ratings and his performances thus far, he's done enough of all those kind of ratings guys to win a lot of the recent renewals of the Champion Hurdle, of the Triumph Hurdle. So if he turns up here in the same form that he has done earlier on in the season, obviously I think his two wins, he's won 28 lengths between them. So that's interesting for me. The one thing I would say about Hello Neighbour, I don't think we know how good he is, because I just think he's the kind of horse who's just going to only ever win less than a length. He just stops as soon as he hits the front. So I kind of think for Keith Donoghue, he might end up having the opposite of what happened yesterday, in that East India Dock, if he is the one who goes and really puts the pace of the race and kicks on over the last, obviously there are fewer hurdles in this race on the new course than it would be on the old course, I think East India Dock might set it up for Hello Neighbour to go and nab him on the line. So that's just the way I read the race. And for a fascinating runner for me is Blue Lemons, who's by champion sprinter Blue Point, and now was a nice runner last time out, right the mount of Rachel Blackmore. Just thought that was fascinating. But the way I read the race, I think East India Dock could be the best horse in the race. And if there's one to nab him late on because of his exuberant running style, I thought it'd be Hello Neighbour with the race run to suit, who on the price as well is drifting markedly. I wouldn't worry about that. Gavin Cromwell's horses are running really well. And I just thought he might be the one in that one. The County Hurdle is another fixture on this card. Is there? it's one of those. It's one of those. I think in the previous circuit, Willie Mullins was asked, what's your tip? What's your dark horse? And he's like, whatever Paul Townend rides in the county, because famously last year he only had one ride in the handicap hurdles. That was absurd in this race, where he gave it just an all-timer last to first. He rides Kerjazy this time round, who was a very different type of horse and with a different style of riding. What do you make of this race, and who do you fancy, John?
I make that it's very difficult to work out. A load of horses could win here. You could pick 10 that could win. So once again, folks, you need to be careful. Kerjazy doesn't really strike me as much value at 3-1. Observed last year's winner, Danny Mullins, on board now, a bit of money for that. Money in the market for Daddy Longlegs, a former winner of a handicap hurdle at Punchestown, into 14s. Irish Panther is popular at 16-1. Our Champ, a bit of money for that at 25s. Patrick Mullins rides Ethical Diamond, who is a very good horse in the flat. Valgrand looks like he's been laid out for the race by Dan Skelton, who's got a brilliant record in the race, 4 times he's won it. Ooh, Lark in the Morning's well handicapped. It just depends on like the five-year-olds. If you think that the five-year-olds like Lark in the Morning and the horse he beat last year in Dowie are maybe better off than the others, but ask me to pick one. Maybe in Dowie is 22-1 for like maybe 10 cent each way. And that's, I mean, how much respect I have for my ability to pick the winner of it, because I think it's a very difficult puzzle.
It's and a very... Yeah, it's a difficult puzzle. It's been a tricky week for Gordon Elliott. You know, Tia Hupo turned over by a horse in the same colours yesterday. He could really do with a winner. I know a few have knocked on the door, but it's not been a good week for him.
No, it hasn't. And look, the Yellow Clay as well ran close to the new line in the 2.5 mile novice hurdle. Ooh, it's tricky. I wouldn't mind seeing the market 10 minutes before this, Tom.
Yeah.
I think that might be a good indicator. Watch the market 10 minutes before this one at, 2 o'clock for the... You're going to have better opportunities elsewhere in your racing career to find a winner. I mean, I was given a tip for the last in Limerick yesterday, and he won it in the stewards' room. So, and it was,
you need
it was
every a, bit of luck a, you can take, John. You take your luck when it's coming to you.
It was 11-5. So, like an 11-5 winner at Limerick is just as equivalent as 11-5 winner at Cheltenham. It's the same money. It's the same return. You might not be able to brag as much about it, but ultimately your bank balance will be the same.
Yeah, very true. I quite like Pinot Gris and Nadawi. Nadawi, if you're fancying Lark in the Morning, there's very little between him and Nadawi on form. I thought Pinot Gris as well was an interesting runner there for Keith Donoghue and Gavin Cromwell. Just touched off at Leopardstown. Might have to be ridden a different way. He was probably too prominent and got caught by Enniscarry out of the fog that day. And like I said, McGlory and Valgrand. Kerjazy, I think, is too keen. Lark in the Morning's too obvious. Absurd. Last year's winner has gone up quite high. Ethical Diamond got another £6, got £6 for winning an Irish maiden hurdle, which looked really ordinary, and then got another £6 from the UK handicapper. So that might have scuppered his chances. But yeah, confusing kind of race. And like you said, John, I wouldn't be against your advice to go very, very small on that one. At 2:40 then, we have an intriguing contest here, because you got the likes of Dino Blue, Allegory de Vassy, Bride's Hill, and last year's winner, Limerick Lace, who's fourth in the market. And Dino Blue is easy, and it's probably more open than the initial betting suggested on this, when Dino Blue is a very short price favourite.
Yeah, and look, is Dino Blue going to win over the distance? And maybe she's not as sparkling as she was a couple of seasons ago. Allegory de Vassy, obviously, they're very closely matched. Bride's Hill is interesting. Bride's Hill was on a brilliant run last season, hasn't been as amazing this season, but this is obviously the only one day that matters, and that's today. And there's been a lot of money for Bride's Hill. When I went through Betfair earlier on, you know, they have the little flame for the hot, and they have a little ice for the cold, and the Bride's Hill was the only flame I saw. I mean, she's what, 9-2 with William Hill, our sponsors, and I think that at 9-2 to finish in the first three, that could be if I was going to have a bet, I'd probably have the bet on that. Limerick Lace is what, 13-2. She could be anything but the money for that. And then the rest are probably going to be up against it. So Bride's Hill will be my selection each way for Keith Donoghue, if she can return to the form that she showed last season. Like, she slammed Allegory de Vassy in a race, I believe, at Ferryhead. So Bride's Hill for me.
Yeah, Allegory de Vassy is just one of those horses that I think has been beaten favourites so often. You just don't know where you stand with her. Like Dina Blue as well, she's 0-2 at Cheltenham. And then, Allegory de Vassy, I'd nearly back just because she's not favoured, if you know that kind of way. I feel like she's almost spiteful towards not just me, but very many punters who have supported her to our detriment over the last couple of years. She can be just so tricky to get right. But I'm with you, John. There's only this. I know on paper it says a 9-runner race, but this is only a 4-runner race to my eye. I think Dino Blue's too short. Bride's Hill, I'd be worried about the way she was beaten in the UK last time out. Limerick Lace, the market's support for her last year when she won this race was just very telling, and the fact that Mark Sticks with Dino Blue, that's a slight negative for Limerick Lace. So just kind of a process of elimination, and just on the prices, I think I'd just be with Allegory de Vassy, despite the sheer volume of heartbreak she has caused me, John.
Yeah, a good suggestion, Tom, and I think you've kind of distilled it well there.
We'll move on to the Albert Bartlett. This is a difficult race. So often you get big price winners of this contest. And even when you look through what people are tipping up, the Big Westerner was definitely the one that everyone was sort of suggesting in the sort of preview night circuit. Everyone very, very strong on that one. When you look actually to the tips in the paper, then we sort of 6 or 7 lads there, and they nearly all have different selections. It's kind of that sort of race, isn't it?
I love this race. Absolutely love it. I think it's just, it's like the Grand National. It's just for young horses, because they're just, there's usually a good gallop because of the number of runners, and there's 20 runners. And then by the time they get to 3 out, some of them have just said, no, we're out of here. We're raising the white flag. Yeah. And then you really see the real stairs come through. And not many horses that do well in this. I think Minella Indo won it. Penn Hill.
Yeah, you won it a huge prize, well, though.
50-1, Penn Hill as well. I remember like Bertie's Dream winning this race at 33-1. Like I've gone for 40-1 shot, Fishery Lane. So Fishery Lane was fifth in the bumper last year, stayed on really well up the hill, fifth in the bumper. And I just think he's just crying out for this kind of trip. Sean O'Keefe rides, who had a winner with Lucky Watson the other day. So if I'm going to pick an outsider, you can be picking one of the front few, right, at 8s. Or you can try and maybe chance an outsider and see if something will happen with that outsider. And that's my kind of strategy for the race. Jasmine DeVoe, I know he doesn't jump well, and maybe he will jump better over 3, but he's disappointed me this season. Derry Hassan Paddy never has probably run on this type of ground, although he's a very good horse for the future for Lucinda Russell. Jet Blue is a course and distance winner. I mean, he could be ahead of them. The Big Westerner, does she want better ground? That's just one thing but she's another chaser in the making. I mean, they're the four that are attracting market support. Actually, Fishery Lane, since I tipped him, you can get between 20 and 40s on him. So it's a strange view of the market. Mashan too, and First Confession, a little bit of money for them. The negatives in the market, as I speak here, Argento Boy is quite negative. Bing Men is negative. Wendigo is negative. But bring it on. I love this race.
Yeah, I thought Fishery Lane was an eye catcher as well. Obviously has that bit of classy bumper form. Form ties in with In the Park as well, who's another one at a huge price. If you are going to look down near the bottom of the market, the horse that I would have picked out Antipost for this race, thought he was absolutely tailor-made for it, was Ballybow, won at Clonmel a few weeks ago as just a big lump of a Flemings Firth, and he's a dour stare. It's exactly what you need for this race. He's cold in the market, and obviously Gordon Elliott hasn't had the greatest week.
Don't worry about that, because it's Jigginstown.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And obviously Jack Kennedy goes for Wingmen, but like of a selection at the prices there, I can't believe the price of Ballybow, because I think he was given quotes as sort of 8 or 10 to 1 for the Albert Bartley, the immediate back of that, at the time when his stablemate, the Yellow Clay, was sort of favourite for this race, and then the Big Westerner became favourite by default. So I think that's going to fall into why the market is so fragmented for this race and so kind of sensitive. Jasmine DeVoe's been kind of backed almost by default, just because it's Paul Town and Willie Mullins had a bit of an eye in there at Leopardstown the last time, ran like a horse that was just kind of learning to settle. And I mean, JJ Slevin that day went, what, 3 or 4 wide just to catch every jump. Don't think you get away with it in this race. But yeah, I think each way, Ballybow, perfect profile, big lump of a staying chaser of the future, and could plug on there. 18 to 1 or something like that. I think that's a worthy each way bet for the Albert Bartlett.
Very good.
It's just one of those kind of races, isn't it? It's very difficult to kind of to really make a super strong case for too many. We've mentioned the Gold Cup and the hopeful appointment of Galopin Deschamps to the higher echelons. Then we move on to the Hunter's Chase. Angel's Dawn for Sam Curling, of course, won at the festival a few years ago in the Kim Muir. She's up at the top of the market for this. What do you make of the Fox Hunters?
I love this race again. One of my favourite races, the festival. I just kind of love seeing amateur jockeys really prove themselves and also get in the spotlight and be rewarded for all the work they do in racing. Angel's Dawn, does she need softer ground? It's on the line. There's been a bit of a bridesmaid in this. Maybe this is the day we saw with Billaway coming in close and then eventually doing it. Will It Go Ahead is negative in the market. Rye Hill is positive in the market for Ross O'Sullivan. Shearer, all the Newcastle fans beyond that. Fairly Famous is a horse that has a really good course form for Gina Andrews. She's been popular. My nap of the day is Rocky's Howie each way, Tom. This is a bit of the madness of my tipping, I suppose, going off the rails here a bit this week. But the fact that I've been doing it in the Hunter's Chase, I suppose, it just shows where my head is at. But anyway, the horse, like you saw with Daily Present yesterday, that horses that can come back and perform and do that. And Daily Present was, I think, 4th in the Kim Muir last year and then won yesterday under Barry Stone. I remember Premier Magic winning this race a couple of years ago, beating Rocky's Howie, and Premier Magic was placed in a Fox Hunters before. Rocky's Howie probably should have been second in that race 2 years ago on softer ground when he was hampered in the running. He has a trainer, Declan Keeley, that is having a great season. I remember going to Leopardstown a couple of times and seeing him win races. So I just think, you know, sometimes like it's like when you do a sports button, whenever you notice names coming into the picture and you notice tennis players, you notice golfers who are up at leaderboards. I've begun to notice Declan Queeley's name. And I think that he's an each way chance, given that he's been around here before. He won his point last time out. And he's got a little bit of a nibble from the market too. So I put him up at 10 to 1, Rocky's Howie in the Hunter's Chase. We'd like to see Charlie Mullins win on the ropes. Ran well in the Scottish National last year. If he gets him out in front and into rhythm, it's now completely a family affair because it's owned by the mother and trained by the father and ridden by Charlie. So on the ropes, what a 40 to 1 shot. Be lovely to see that story.
Yeah, that'll be lovely. Actually, one of my favourite stories of the Fox Hunters, John, and I don't want to go, glorify betting here, but I was at a stag do and it was on Gold Cup Day in Edinburgh. And I don't know if you remember, Victoria Pendleton at the time did a charity kind of initiative, and yes, she went and she got
Pasha,
to the
Pasha
de Polder, and we were she had fallen off at Fakenham or something like that, but this horse is one of the best jumpers ever to go through Paul Nicholls Yard, and the betting shop that was beside the pub we were in, we'd had a really good day because Don Cossack had won the Gold Cup, and the special they put up was Pasha de Polder and Victoria Pendleton to jump around and even money. And even though Nina Carberry won the race at 13 to 8 with On the Fringe, the cheer in that pub when Victoria Pendleton jumped the last and we all took the even money, and it absolutely made the day, made the weekend with a little kind of novelty bet on the side we all had. But yeah, we're all back in Victoria Pendleton, of course, Olympic gold medalist. But, you know, the most important ride we saw her give was Pasha de Boulder to jump around in the Fox Hunters.
Interesting you say that. Probably the last winner I tipped was the following year when I tipped Pasha de Polder at 16-1 to win the race, and she did it under Brian Frost.
Yeah, and he should be a three-time winner of the race, really. But Victoria Pendleton, anyway, she managed to jump around, and we managed to get paid at even money that day in Edinburgh. It added to the occasion as well as Don Cossack's Gold Cup. John, the day finishes up with the Martin Pipe, and I mean, it's one of the most intriguing races, because the two that most people are going to kind of mention for this race are Wadoo and Kopec de Mee. And if you believe the hype, Kopec de Mee has anything from 15 to 20 pounds in hand. And then Wadoo has just this bulletproof form from her run recently with the likes of Joyeux and several other runners were behind her down the field. Is it that straight to put the Martin Pipe, a really deep handicap hurdle, down to just two runners?
It is too straight. It is too obvious. And maybe in hindsight will tell us that it wasn't if they finished in the forecast places. But I think the forecast of the champion hurdle about 440-1. So, look, Kopec de Mee could be anything, but you're taking that on trust, okay? You're taking the environment, you're taking all of this stuff on trust at 9-4. Once again, you're back in this. You are a confident punter. And if you take Kopec de Mee out of it, you're looking at 7-1 the field. Wadoo is drifting to 15-2 now. But there's money for a tap on the go, East India Express, New Ordinary Joe, and Nurse Susan. A lot of money for Nurse Susan and in the hands of Dan Skelton today, which is interesting. Doyen Quest, bit of money for that. So, look, often you can find a horse of the future in this race. If I remember, was it Don Pody, I think, was in this race? Galloping Deschamps is obviously one of the four. Yeah. Willie Mullins can often say that this is the race maybe to put a horse in there that could be a future chaser or a future stable top star in the yard. Look, he's drifting massively in the markets. The one I went for was Carafon. He fits the trends. He's drifted out to 20-1. Tiernan Power Roach, as we know, is one of our best up-and-coming jockeys. And I think the horse will appreciate the step up and trip. Like, he won over 2 miles, 3 at Clonmel. He's been running over 2 miles in better races. I think over 2.5 miles in a handicap now. Look, I don't know if there's ever money for the double green. Don't know if that there's that type of owners where they're punching on horses. But maybe I shouldn't be too dissuaded by the drift of the market. But Carafon, for a sporting each way, €1 each way bet, I think 20-1 is one that I'm interested in. And the thing about it is, like, say, for example, Gordon Elliott has a winner, or say Ballybo or Wingman or Indawi does well earlier in the day. That could be a positive for Wadoo's chances. And Yellow Clay did run well. Teopu did run well. And Wildoo did run well. So Wadoo now could be a price, actually could be a decent price, 15-2. That looks to me to be quite a big price because of all the hype around this favourite.
Yeah, absolutely. And you mentioned the previous winners of this race. You got the likes of Banbridge, Galloping Deschamps, Blow by Blow, Kiloltovic, Don Poli, Sir Deschamps. So yeah, there have been some serious winners of this race. I'm kind of with you on Wadoo. Just one thing as well, I forgot to mention in the Fox Hunters, the stablemate of the favourite, Wonderwall. He was kind of bought to win this race. He qualified much earlier in the year, and he's definitely a horse who will appreciate the drying ground. So if it does dry out a bit between now and the end of the day, one for the Oasis fans there, easy to pick out. Maybe get some of that ticket price back. But with Wonderwall, he's about a 33 to 1. There you go. Yeah, no, he's a big price, and I actually, he's the same price he's been all year, really. He was that after he won his point-to-point, I think back about 12 or 14 weeks ago. And yeah, I just think he has a bit of a squeak in the Martin Pipe. I do quite like Wadoo. I just think let's go with the form. Kopec de Mee, as we mentioned, could be absolutely anything. Aidan Kelly gets the mount. It's usually he got the ride in Oroco as well a couple of years ago. He's a conditional that Jake McManus likes to use, and Jake McManus does like to make sure everyone gets their winners, because you also saw John Joe O'Neill Jr. got his yesterday as well. So look, Kopec de Mee could be thrown in, but just Wadoo's just a little bit more solid. And as you mentioned, John, you know, Gordon Elliott's horses, while not winning, quite a few of them have been running well. You know, they're not pulling up and falling out the back of the TV or running badly like they are. They are getting there and being in contention. It's just, he just probably needs a little change of look.
Yeah, and let's hope that he gets it, because you want to see lots of Irish trainers doing well here and getting winners. I mean, there's so much that goes into this. All season, trainers are gearing up for Cheltenham. Look, racing is a... I spoke to Paul Nolan yesterday after Daily Present. He's had 4 winners in 20 years, and he just says, like, the ups and downs of this, you just have to just accept them. But it is difficult to accept when you've all the preview nights and all the talk and all the hopes and all the dreams, and then they can be over in a few minutes, and then you've got to touch yourself down and go back to Ireland and prepare for Punchestown and Ferryhouse. But, yeah, it is... It just, like, I even spoke to Keith Donohue this morning. He says, like, we got one on the board, Stumptown. We have one on the board. And that then gives him confidence to say, look, we've had a lot of near misses, but we do have one on the board. Let's try and make that a few more than one.
Yeah, I heard Keith talking on Racing TV last week. Actually, he was on with Mark Boylan of the Irish Field. They have a little slot they do during Dundalk. And he was kind of saying that, it looked like a good book of rides. He could easily go and not have a winner, but still have a very good week. And that's almost what's happened to the Cavan Cromwell yard, because they've had so many seconds and thirds, but that Stumptown is just so, so significant. Right, John, it's crunch time. It's the final day. It is history beckoning for Gallop and Deschamps, no doubt. But go on, what are your best bets on Gold Cup Day?
Well, my bets are all each way, because I'm trying to make profit for charity and I'm up against them behind the eight ball. So maybe if it was a different day, I'd have a different approach. But I've gone for Rocky's Howie, a 10-1 each way in the Hunter's Chase, Carafon each way in the 520, and Fishery Lane each way in the 320 as well. But look, I mean, I don't have an opinion to really go against Gallop and Deschamps in the Gold Cup. I do think the one horse that is the wild card is Banbridge. And I feel if Banbridge stays, he could cause Gallop and Deschamps problems. He is the wild card for me. But if the wild card doesn't be dealt from the pack, then it's Gallopons to win and create history and create all the celebrations that will go back to Carlow this evening and then into tomorrow.
Yeah, it'd be magic. Right, my best bets on the day, by the way, I think we'll... I'd really like East India Dock, but in that race I think that Helen Aber's got a brilliant each way chance. Going to stick with Allegory Devassi despite the heartbreak she's caused me in the Mare's Chase, and I think that I know the way you're thinking will chase home the great Gallop and Deschamps and secure history. 3 Gold Cups. To see it twice in a lifetime is pretty good going, John. I mean, that didn't, you know, the way the horse has been campaigned is such a positive as well. You know, we remember back to when Best Mate and Henrietta Knight got so much criticism for, you know, running him at Huntingdon and wrapping him in cotton wool. And yes, he was brilliantly trained, but didn't get to see him that often. This fella turns up, runs, jumps, wins. Here's hoping he does it again. Thanks, John. It's been a great week.
Tom, appreciate all the help and thanks so much.
Cheers. Thank you. Thank you so much for tuning in to the Cheltenham Show. I've been Tom Malone. He's been John Duggan. We've had Johnny Ward on the line as well, with thanks to William Hill, our sponsors. So go easy. Good luck. Gamble responsibly and enjoy Gold Cup Day.
The Racing Pod
on Off the Ball
with William Hill. Proper value from a proper bookmaker. Every day at Cheltenham. 18+ gamblingcare.ie.